another way, but he didn't. And I'm just so grateful to him. I'm so grateful to have all the capacity of my limbs, that I can move my limbs, that I can run and I can move and I can walk and I can talk. And there was somebody who wanted to walk. There was somebody who wanted to talk. There was somebody who wanted to move today who could not move. There was somebody today who wanted to go forth today who was not allowed to go forth. And if you are allowed to go forth, you should be grateful, grateful, grateful this morning. Come on, somebody. You should be grateful to him. I'm just so grateful to him on this morning, for God has just been so good to us. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I cannot just say it enough. I don't know about you, but there's still ice and snow outside. It's cold in the Northeast. I heard they got 18, almost 20-something inches up there. And yet we didn't get that down here. We got our portion, but we did not get that. And I'm just so grateful that God has been so good to us and he didn't allow these things to come upon us. Amen. And I'm just so grateful, grateful, grateful to him. And I know that you are, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. He's good and he's so worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. I hope all is well with you and yours this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall continually rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm just grateful this morning for all of you. I'm grateful for all that God has done, his traveling mercy and his mercies that he's allowed us to have on each and every day on this day. Amen. Amen. It's just so many of you all here in the chat. Amen. On the Zoom. Amen. You know, we have Facebook Live and we have, you know, YouTube and sometimes, but, you know, I know our church members, you know, I know I can depend on them to be here in the Zoom. Amen. I'm just so grateful that God's just been so good to us. He's blessed so many of you all. And on next Sunday, as we go into the 1st of February, amen, this will be this Sunday, you know, this is the last message on the harvest, but we're still in the year of the double harvest, amen. But just to start this month and start this year, God has given me a series of messages on the double harvest. How many of y'all been enjoying the messages on the double harvest? I'll just put in the chat or just say yes or something. Let me know. Give me some feedback that these messages have been timely and they've been hitting you right where you are. Remember, you can always go back and get these messages. They are always free of charge. They're on our YouTube page. Amen. You go back and watch them as many times as you need. They were not, you know, it's free of charge. You also can go to our podcast. That's at gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Again, that's gospelprofessor.podbean.com. So maybe you're out, you're working out, you're exercising, and you're listening. You're looking for something good to carry. You all know that I'm going to go about 45 minutes. It's the professor in me. So you can get your whole workout listening to the word of God, just reminding yourselves that, you know, what you feed yourself is what you're going to become. You feed yourself garbage, you're going to be looking like garbage. But if you take some discipline and eat good things and make good choices, then what? Your body will reflect that. That's a reflection of what you put in your body. Amen. I'm just so grateful to him and all these powerful words that he brought to us. And I do believe there is another powerful word from the Lord. But on next week, I want to we want to go old school a little bit. We want to do a little testimony service. And then we'll talk about how we would do that. Amen. And you want to do a little testimony service. Amen. I want to allow individuals to come on. We would not. I know some of you, oh, I don't want to be on camera and all these things. And I, you know, you all know I respect that. Amen. But I will allow you to unmute yourselves audio wise and let it be played all over the air on the podcast. And they were, because the Bible said that we overcome by the power of our testimony. And sometimes we as believers, we have a tendency to keep how good God has been just to ourselves. We have a tendency to keep how good God has been to ourselves. So we will do some testimonies on next week. And if you all recall about what, 90 days ago, I told you all, and God laid it on my spirit. He said, look, he asked me to ask you all for a sacrificial offering of $100. And many of you did that. Many of you did that. In fact, I think almost all of you did that. Or you did whatever, you know, God had for you. Amen. You know, it's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. Oh, come on, somebody. It's not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. So if you only got $10, God know you got $10. And if you got $1 million, God know you got $1 million. That's between you and him. We don't ask you for W-2s and W-4s and 1099s and all that stuff here. Amen. I know there's places that do. But that's not what God has called us to do. So if you don't do right by him, that's not me. That's between you and him. Amen. Because at the end of the day, I'm not God. I'm just a man. And I live in this fleshly body just like you do. And I'm subject to making bad decisions and bad moves and mistakes myself. Amen. So we will have some testimonies, because I know in the last 90 days since we've done that sacrifice of giving, that some of you all have been tremendously blessed. I mean, God has really turned some of you all situations just, you know, completely around. And he's been good. Some of you, God has delivered from COVID. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, prior to that, I remember well, prior to that, we hadn't had anybody in our church contract the coronavirus. Amen. But now we've had some, you know, life happens to all of us. But God has kept you, and he's kept your body. Amen. And some of you, he's blessed you through that ordeal. Some of you came on top. Some of you got, you know, new job situations. Some of you have been blessed with raises and all kinds of things. Come on, somebody. Some of you got new cars and in new home situations. And God has been good, you know, and he's been good. And we need to tell somebody about some of these testimonies. So I'm not going to put you on blast, but I do want to hear from you. And we'll, you know, talk about that. And, you know, when it's your time, I unmute you. And we'll let you tell of the goodness of God and how good God has been to you. Because he's definitely been good, Pastor Ely. And I know he's been good to you. And we want to be a blessing to somebody else that, look, no, God has been good. And I know that we're in a pandemic still. And we know that we have a rising economy and we have snow on the ground and we got this. But even in all of this, that God has kept his people. That's what his word said. He said, if my people should call upon my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then what? They hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Their land, look, the rest of the land might be at war and rumor of war. They might be about to have war in the Ukraine and do things over here and do things over there. But he said he would heal our land. When I mean my land, what? The land that I stand on, the things that I occupy, the spaces that I occupy. What? God can keep, excuse me, he can keep you in the midst of trouble. I got these hiccups here. I hope they go away soon. He can keep you there in the midst of trouble. And he's kept us in the midst of trouble here. So we definitely look forward to sharing that. We've never done that before. In fact, I don't think we've ever had a straight up testimony service in our congregation before. But I want others to hear of goodness. And, you know, I can keep telling you until I'm blue in the face. But sometimes you need to hear from somebody else, because sometimes you all, I know your stories. You know, as pastor, you know, many of you tell those stories to me. And, you know, and I keep everything in confidence as your pastor. Amen. Because this is the safe house and I am a safe space. However, I do believe that God has touched some of you that you need to speak to some others. You need to tell somebody else. You need to tell the world what God has done for you. He said, if you be ashamed of me, then what? I will be ashamed of you. So now he's not being ashamed of you. So there's no time for you to be ashamed of him. Amen. Amen. We're just so grateful for all that God has done. As we continue, we are on our building search. So if anybody still comes across a building or a facility, we're still looking. We're still praying. We believe in God that he still is going to change that situation. And he's going to turn that around for us. Amen. And I ask that you all continue to keep your eyes out. And if you see anything, let the old pastor know. Give us a call. Many of you, you should have by now, with the exception of maybe two people, you should have gotten your tax deductible papers for this year. So remember, Finding Fish Ministries is a 501(c) tax deductible organization. We have our papers. We legit. We got our stuff in order, and sent that to you all on last week. So you should have gotten it via email. If you didn't, please send me just contact me. Give me a call here at the church and send me a message, say, Pastor, I haven't got it. Like I said, I know two of you all haven't gotten it too, Sister Shay and Sister Hicks, but we'll be getting that out. Hopefully by the end of today, I'll be able to get that to you. And I think everybody else I have gotten it, but if I missed you, charge to my head and not my heart, let me know and you'll get it right away. All right. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and start moving to where I believe God has us on today. How many of you feeling good today? How many of you feel good in your body? How many of you are just grateful that God has just been so good to us? And he's definitely been good to me. You know, God has just been changing situations around me, changing things in me and around me and through me. And, you know, I know I've gotten some calls and some emails over the last couple of weeks and said, you know, these messages have just been so powerful. And, you know, I like to think, to be honest, I like to think that everything, you know, every time I'm before God's people, that God's power is flowing through me. But they say there's something extra in these. And what you'll find is, you know, all of us are going through something. You know, pastor's been going through some things and I know many of you have been going through some things because what we in this life, we all go through some things. But what you find is, it's very interesting is that when you go through things, it's when you really find out what you're made of. When you go through things and circumstances and situations, is what you find is what you're made out of. And what I'm finding is that what you're getting is what is coming out of me from pressure and intensity and God taking me through some things and working some things out of me. What? Because he wants to make me a better pastor. He wants to make me a better leader. You know, I'm the first partaker of the fruit. So, you know, I get a nice little blow. Oh, not only just for the church, but also for my home. See, I have double work, right? I have a home, I have a church, and I have other people I lead in other places. Oh, come on, somebody. So all these things, as the leader, you have to take them on first. And it's caused some intrepidation, some nice. It's caused some things that, you know, I ask God, and I'm reminded often that the thing that I preach, I have to live too. You know, we talk about walking by faith and not by sight. Oh, come on, somebody. That's much easier said than done. You know, it's easy for that to roll off my lips. It's easy for that to be a thing that we talk, you know, we say when we leave and we say each and every day. But to actually live that God requires me to live what I talk about. That I practice what I preach. I remember Barry White came out with a song, said, practice what you preach, you know. And many times we find a lot of people who say a lot of things, but they have no clue about what they about how that works. They have no clue about living that. They have no clue of what it is to be without or to go without or to be in a circumstance or to be accused or be in a situation or a situation or to even, as we say, humble pie, that sometimes God humbles you but he said he that what that humbles himself, then what he will exalt and that and he that he exalted, you know, that what he will put on there, the God makes platforms and he gives pedestals in all these situations. And we have to be reminded that also God, what he has a way, he has a plan, and he has a plan just for you. And sometimes we get anxious and we get to a point that we like, Lord, it's not happening fast enough. And we want to push God and we want to rush God. And I'm no different. Amen. That, you know, sometimes I want to push God. I want to rush God. God, why hadn't this happened already? Lord, we've been in this for a while. Lord, we're going through this situation for a while. Lord, when is this thing going to break? But I don't know about you, but I've been feeling this thing has been on the verge of a breakthrough for a while now. And I feel the intensity building and building and building. And they tell me that the longer that you preserve a thing, the longer that you hold something back, the further that you pull the rubber band back, the greater the force that it propels forward with. And I just believe that God is about to prepare the Safe House Church forward. I believe that he's about to prepare you and I forward on the individual basis. He's about to prepare us forward as a collective people, what, to be able to go out and do his will and do his way, that he's going to shine a light. But wait, we want our spirits to be right. We want our character to match our anointing. We want our character to match our gifting. Many of you have been gifted among beyond measure, that God has given you so many gifts and so many talents and so many things. However, some of us, our character is not exactly where it needs to be. If he was to put us in the spotlight right now, he's to put you in certain places, a certain situation, if he was to give you $1 million, some of you would walk away from the church. Oh, I know some of you say, oh no, pastor, that wouldn't be me. And Lord, I love him too much, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm committed. Well, my Bible tells me that Peter was committed too. Yet the Bible also tells me that Peter denied Jesus 3 times when Jesus needed him the most. Now, I don't know if you walked as close with Jesus as Peter did, but Peter walked with him, he ate with him, and Peter was with him all the time. And Peter had debates with him, and Peter said things and all this, and then he told Peter that he was going to deny him. And this is the very man who walked with him. So now you and I who don't even get to see him, all we know is we can feel him. We can feel his presence. We can feel him move. We can feel him on us. But how would you not know that we wouldn't? So what God does, what he allows these things to come to make us strong, that he's working out these things, and they're going to be in our favor. And I'm telling you, when you get done and when you get out of this, that you're going to be better, that you're going to be stronger, you're going to be faster, then you're going to know how to shut your mouth, and you're going to know how and when to say something. You're going to know when you're going to be. You're going to be more strategic in your moves. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just talking about me. But, you know that what? God has got it, and he's got you. And we want to go on to our as we continue on this series of the double harvest. We talk about this year. This whole year is the double harvest. And I know many of us, when we look at double harvest, we've been talking about double harvest. And most people think the first time they hear that, it's like, oh, I'm going to get more. But when you get more, it requires what? That you have more capacity. That means that what? That you have to be bigger. And to be bigger means that God has to stretch you. Mm-hmm. See, I think about, when many of us gain weight and our waist sizes go up, what happens is sometimes if we go up really rapidly, and I've been a victim of this, we get sometimes these things called stretch marks. And that's what stretch marks are, a sign or indicator of rapid growth. Mm-hmm. Well, they, most of the time, not good for us. You know, not, pastors included. I'm not picking on y'all, but I'm talking about me. But it's also what rapid growth. And in that growth, what you have to be scratched. And I know sometimes in certain areas, your skin will hurt. Sometimes there will be scarring there because what you are expanding to take on what new capacity. And what you're finding, brothers and sisters, is God is anointing some of you, and he's moving you in some areas that you're starting to hurt a little bit in some areas. You know, you're like, Lord, why did this have to happen? Lord, why did I go through this? Lord, why did they say this about me? Lord, why did I find myself in this situation? Lord, why didn't you just change that, Lord? Because I know you had the capacity and the ability to change it on a dime. These are the kind of questions that we ask. And then what we find is after the scratching has occurred, that there's some scars there, that when we see some things, you know, when I look at certain people, you know, I forgive you, but I've not forgotten. Oh, come on, somebody. I forgive you, but I've not forgotten that. I know what you said and I've let it go. But it's also still an indicator and a reminder in my mind that there's a scar there. And with that growth sometimes comes some scarring. Oh, can I make it real this morning? And with that scarring, that what it's also that growth. Now that I have the capacity to be able to what take on more. So the double harvest means not only just take on more, but it also means that I'm in position to give more. Oh, come on, somebody. See, if God gives you more, are you in do you have the capacity and do you have the character inside of you to give more? How many of you know God has blessed you with a raise and he's giving you this and he's giving you that? And you say, okay, this is mine. Mm-mm. Well, what? He said that this first fruits, that the first of our labor, and many of us, we use that in this modern day and time in terms of our financial resources, what, to be a blessing to the temple of God and be able to be a blessing to God's people. You all know more than anybody exactly what goes on here at the Safe House Church. You all know that I'm very transparent about what we do and what God has given us, and that we're here to be a blessing to somebody else. So would you turn with me today as we continue to go into the year of the double harvest to the book of Luke. We want to go to St. Luke chapter number 15, and we want to go to verse number 11. This is a very familiar passage of scripture for many of you. Many of you have heard this story many, many times before, but I don't know if you want to hear it today how I believe God has given it to me. As we continue to talk about the year of the double harvest. Amen. So let's go to St. Luke. We're talking about the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. And we want to go to verse number 11. All right, we're there. 15 and verse number 11. And hopefully those can see it there on the screen. And it reads as such. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. What we have here, we have two young men. And they asked him, say, Dad, I want my inheritance a little early. I want my inheritance early. See, sometimes when we push God, brothers and sisters, what we're saying, God, I want what I want, and I want it now. I heard a quote the other day, which was just an amazing quote that I've never heard before, but it just kind of struck me in a way. It said that many of us are willing to give up. Many of us are willing to give up what we want for what we want now. Watch this. Let me say that again. Many of us are willing to give up what we want for what we want now. One more time. I want that to sink in. Many of us are willing to give up what we want for what we want now. Think about it for a moment. How many of you are willing to give up your long-term goal, your long-term success, your long-term situation, your long-term plan, but many of us give it up for what we want right now? I give it to you in terms of this. Let's make it plain. Y'all know I like to talk a lot of metaphors. Person who's on a diet. They want to be healthy. They want their bodies to be feel well. They want to look a certain way, but that requires some discipline. And now they're looking at their long-term goal. That's what I want, but I want this cupcake right now. I want this pie right now. I want this pizza right now. I want to overindulge right now. Yes, I want it right now. So I give up right now. I mean, I get right now and I give up. How many of us give up what we want for what we want right now? Am I making sense to anybody this morning? Yep, I'm in your house and I'm coming down your road. All right. So then he goes on and he says this. And this is what's happening. So this young man is giving up what he wants for what he wants right now. And he says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. If God gave many of us what we wanted right now, if we got the harvest that we wanted right now, many of us will waste it. Because what, we don't have the character. Some of us don't have the capacity there yet. And just because you don't have the character, don't mean that you're not a child of God. Then what, you're growing. We all growing. I'm not the same man I was 10, 15 years ago. You're not the same woman that you were 10, 15 years ago. There's capacity. This is why I have a problem with council culture. Yeah, I'm going there. Because why? They counsel people and they say things and they come up with all kinds of stuff that, like, people don't change. Well, I'm here to tell you that I have to believe that people change, because, well, I'm in the change people business. That how can you serve God and not believe people can't change? Why? Because you change. You change each and every day. Paul says that what we're walking towards perfection. There's a perfecting in us. Which means that, what, I'm not perfect, so each and every day there's something else that's being pulled off me. There's something else that's being removed off me. There's something else that he's adding and he's taking, he's subtracting. I'm changing. I'm not who I used to be. But oftentimes, because this is how the world operates, they see you for what, right where you are. If, truth be told, if I was judged for who I was when I was 17 or who I was when I was 21, that me and you all not would ever, never, ever come onto this broadcast. Or ever listen to the words that I had to say. If the truth be told, many of us wouldn't even associate with you. Some of us were promiscuous. Some of us were homemongers. Some of us was drunk. Some of us even shot drugs. And some of us did LSD. And some of us did taps. And some of us just did it and got with whoever and whoever we wanted to be with. And all these things. And we just did whatever we wanted to do. Some of us would cuss you out so bad. Hell, come on, somebody. Some of us still cuss you out so bad. But we're working. Character. God is building us. Who are you when nobody's looking? So what his character causes his riotous living. All right? And the Bible, let's go on here. Let me get off that. I'm not going to get in your house too much today. And he says this. And he says, and when he had spent all, he had exhausted those resources. He exhausted all that time. He exhausted it. He said, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. There's coming a time that you're going to be in want, that you used all that you had. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. See, this is what happens when we get outside of what God has called for us to do, when we get too much too fast, when we're running and we're trying to harvest everything on our own, that we hook up with what? Citizens of that country. What do you mean citizens of that country? We call it the world. The world don't think like God. The world is not God. The Bible says it like that. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. That what? Anything that you do, God is usually what? The opposite of. Yet what do? We hook ourselves up to these citizens. Well, you know what? I'm going to hook up with this one, because if I hook up with this one and they're going to remember me when they get there, chances are, no, they're not. And now you either hooked yourself up with somebody who's not even thinking more about you, but they're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their situation. They're thinking about their circumstance. They're thinking about how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that. And to be honest, they only got you if they're going to, what? If they can use you to, what, further their agenda. Watch this. So what does he do? He hooks up. Why? Because he's in need. God has already given us all that we need. But what happens is when we put ourselves in these circumstances, see, he put himself in this. This is nothing that God did, but he put himself in this. And what God is going to use is he's going to use the power of this situation to teach us all a powerful lesson. We're talking about the prodigal son today. And in this lesson that he teaches him is that what he hooks up with, what, a citizen of that country. Brothers and sisters, stop hooking up with citizens of this country. You don't have to kiss anybody's, as we used to say, you don't have to kiss anybody's tail to get where God wants you to be. If God has it for you, he has it for you. And it's nothing that anybody can do. That what, he'll set it up, he'll fix it. And he has a way of moving things and moving people and changing situations and changing circumstances. He has a way of making it right. And what we have to do is believe that he can do it. We have to believe in faith that he's able to do above and beyond and exceedingly glad. See, the problem is, it's not the situation, it's our faith towards it. I'm talking about me this morning. I'm preaching about me this morning because I know that you all are perfect people. I know that you all don't get weary in well-doing. I know that your faith doesn't get a little soft sometimes. You know that you got it and you go on and move on and you always got it together. But I can speak for me on this morning that I ain't always got it together. Sometimes it's hard to stand up here in front of you knowing that I've been wishing and wanting, and I almost feel like I almost had to hook myself up with a citizen of that country because that's how they move and that's how they go and this is how they do things and this is how they walk and this is how they talk. And they tell you that if you're going to get anywhere, that you need to be hooked up with him. And if you're going to get anywhere, you need to be hooked up with her. And they're going to take you. But I have a God that's, oh, yeah, that I know that we have a God that said, well, I'm not the God. I'm the God of the hookup. And I take you and I place you, that I give promotion, that I give seed, that I put you, I give seed to the sower. And if you're sowing and I know I need you to sow, that I will give you the harvest that you need to be able to sow again. This is why I keep telling you all again about the year of the double harvest. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. If you're looking for seed, what are you sowing? And if you're sowing bad seed, then you're going to reap bad seed. The Bible says God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're sowing it unto the flesh, then you're going to reap it in the flesh. If you're sowing it into the spirit, then you should reap it into the spirit. So if you're not reaping good things, ask yourself, what are you sowing? How are you sowing financially? Are you sowing? How are you sowing spiritually? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you reading God's word? Are you being faithful to the ministry? We're not a perfect people, but we love you. And that's all that we were commanded to do was to love you. Right? And that's one thing you can't do nothing about. You can't stop me from loving you. I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I cannot stop God from loving me. And if I could have, I probably would have a long time ago. Why? Because his ways are not my ways. But then when I come to myself, come on, somebody. I don't want to get too far ahead. The Bible says that he goes on, he says this. Watch this. This is what happened when you hook yourself up with citizens of that country. And he said when he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, he hooked himself up with a citizen. He got tired with a citizen. What did the citizen do? He sent them to something that was so beneath him, something that was so degrading to him, something that was so wild, but because he was in need, he was willing to do whatever. How many times have we sold ourselves out because we allowed ourselves to be in a place that we got in a place of need and we hooked up with the wrong citizen? Because see, what I find is if we continue to try to keep pleasing people, what you do is, you know, you'll find yourself doing this. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to be a people pleaser. I don't know, it's just something in me. I guess it's the adult. I mean, not the adult, but the oldest in my family. Because I want to see everybody happy. I want to see people do well. I want to see people prosperous. I don't want the only one to be over here, as we say, winning. I want to see everybody win. That's just how I am. And I don't believe nothing's wrong with that. I believe God has called us to be there. But in the tendency to see everybody win, sometimes that means I hook myself up to citizens of a country I shouldn't have hooked up to. I hook myself up in situations, or I put myself in situations, and I end up doing things that I should never have been doing. Or I've obligated myself and I've obligated my time to do things that I had no business doing. That don't mean that I was doing was bad. Watch this. See, sometimes we believe when we say things like this, that these things are bad. No, the situation or the circumstance of what you're doing is not bad, but it's bad for you because it takes away from what God may have called you to do. Did you catch that? It's bad for you because what? It's taking you away. So you helping somebody here, or you being this, or you being that to somebody else may not be bad, but it may be bad for you because this is not what God has called you to do. Think about that for a moment. Did you catch that? Are you following me? So sometimes, brothers and sisters, we got to stop and we got to self-examine. Lord, am I doing what you want me to do in this time and this season in my life? Lord, am I going and doing what you have me to do in this time and season? Not because I hooked up to a citizen who gave me some orders, and because I want to please them, then I end up doing things. And I find myself in the field feeding the filthy pig. Now, I know I'm guilty. I love my good swine. I do everything in moderation, right? I know some say, oh, he says this in Leviticus and this and that, and he does. And then he also says it back in Peter, and then some say, oh, that's not what he meant, but, you know, different scope, different story for another day. But the swine, puts him in there with the pigs. Last time I checked, pigs will eat their own defecation. Yeah. So the nasty of the nastiest, right? Puts him in there with the swine. And the Bible says, he goes on and he says this, and he would fain, meaning he's hungry, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now watch this, the husk. What is the husk? The husk is the leftover part. He's gotten himself in such a situation, in such a circumstance, that he's not even eating the fruit. He's not even eating. He's eating the husk. That means what? Just like that corn, that ear of corn you get, and we take all the corn off of it, that's the part he's eating. Probably has very little to no nutritional value at all. I'm quite sure it's probably quite hard to eat. Because last time I checked, when I used to shuck corn and stuff, them things, you know, you have to try to bend them and break them. They want the easiest to break. Now you imagine eating that with your teeth. Because that's all you got. So you're doing whatever you can to fill your belly because you hooked up to the wrong citizen. Now watch this. And then he goes on and he says in verse 18, I'm getting ahead of myself. And he says in verse, he filled his belly and no man gave what? And he said he filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat and no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. Why did no man give unto him? He's hooked up wrong. He's with the wrong place, wrong time, wrong citizen. Because the Bible tells us that what? He said, press down, shaking together, running over that what? Men should give unto your bosom. Well, when you give, right? He said, give in good measure, they'll be given back to you. He can't give in the place that he's in. He's any good to anybody. He's in the pig pen. And many of us find ourselves that we find ourselves here and we wallowing around in it and we wallow in self-pity and wonder, Lord, woe is me, woe is me. It's time to make a change today. We're talking about this double harvest. Then the Bible says, then he goes on and he says this. And the Bible says, and when he came to himself, when he realized, some of you are on a journey of self-realization. You realize some things. You realize as you've gotten older, I realized some things that, Lord, I could have been taken out. Lord, you should have took me out. Lord, I realized, Lord, that situation I was dying to get into, I realized how you saved me, how you kept me. Lord, I realized, Lord, that, whoo, I'm glad I didn't marry that one. Lord, I realized, Lord, I'm glad that I didn't get tied up in that situation. Lord, I'm glad that this is not, you know, that job situation I got. You'll be glad. Mm-hmm. You're looking at that. You're thinking about that. And the Bible said, that he said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired? This is not, now listen, these are not volunteer folk. Hired servants of my father's house, my father's, have bread enough to spare and perish, and I perish with hunger. He's reminding himself that my daddy's servants eat better than I do. My daddy's servants eat better than I do. For a moment, how many of those around you just eat better than you? And you know they don't even serve God. But you look at this wife because you're in a situation, you've hooked up with the wrong citizen. And he goes on and says, and they have what, enough bread? And here I am, what, I perish with hunger? And verse 18, he says, and I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Dad, I hooked up with the wrong one, Lord. I thought I knew what I was doing. I blew everything that I had. I leaned into my own understanding. The Bible is very clear. It said, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will what? Direct your paths. It's he that directs our paths. If we what? We acknowledge him. This is why you cannot be ashamed of him, because we got to acknowledge him, because if we acknowledge him, then he'll tell us where to go. This is how we walk in by faith and not by sight, that we're walking through this valley. Mm-hmm. And he says this, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I am no more worthy to be called thou son. If I were used for a subject today, yes, that was just my introduction. If I was to use for a subject today, I want to talk to you from the point harvesting in the dark. Harvesting in the dark. Harvesting in the dark. We find as we read this story today, this is a famous story. Many of you know it. You don't have to be a Bible scholar or anybody who, even in casual reading, you've heard the story of the prodigal son. And what I find is, you know, that's interesting and just drives this point home of the prodigal son is that we find a son who's walking in a double harvest. Whether you realize it or not, that he started in a land of plenty, that he had a harvest, that he could have anything that he wanted to have, that he had everything set down below his feet, that he had servants that who would come serve him and do things and set him up and take him where he needed to go and do what he needed to do. But it was too much for him. See, some of us are so blessed and God has opened up so many doors for us that sometimes we forget how blessed we are. We forget that we have multiple cars sitting out in the driveway. We forget that God has blessed us with nice homes and cars and situations that we have food on our table every single day, that we get a paycheck every week or every couple of weeks, and we got all these things. And then, yeah, there's others around us who are suffering. That we forget that God has kept our bodies clean and he's kept us, you know, even when we made bad mistakes and we made bad decisions, when we've done dumb stuff and things that they should have came to God us for and things that we should have been, you know, ostracized about, that God's mercy and his grace that was upon us. We forget about those things and we become complacent. In fact, we get to the point that we believe that we've done this thing ourselves because we've been harvesting for so long that we get self-righteous and we walk in our own way and we walk in our own understanding. We walk in our own blitz and knowing that, well, I did this. And what we find here is that now we have a son who knows that he has an inheritance. He knows there's going to be a second harvest that's coming to him. But in that second harvest, he becomes anxious. He comes anxious. Why? Because he thinks that he can do better. He wants to be able to live a certain way. He wants to be able to go a certain way. He wants to be able to do a certain thing and do it his way. He wants to be Frank Sinatra. He wants to do it my way. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, he wants to be my way. And what he finds is that now his father doesn't hold anything from him. His father, in fact, gives him his situation. He gives him his money. He gives him his circumstance. He gives him the part of the inheritance that's him. Do you not know that anything given to you before time can, which should have been good for you, can become a detriment? We find here that he gets something that was set aside for him that's going to come to him for years on later on. That was what was going to come to him when he was in a place of maturity, when he was in a place to be able to hold that. He was in a place of circumstance. He was in a place to be able to understand that people are not your friends, that these people are just here for the moment. They're just here because of what you're able to do with them. And as soon as you can't do anything for them, you find themselves falling off. Oh, come on, somebody. You find them that you know, who is really here for you? And you know that they're not here. They're just here for what they can get. And they're here because you hooked up. They want to hook themselves up to a winner. They want to hook themselves up to a citizen who is going forward. They want to hook themselves up to a person who's growing and a person who's going places and a person who's doing things and a person who's changing situations and lives and circumstances. They want to hook themselves up. Everybody loves a winner. I include it. Loves a winner. But what we find here, as he takes the things that belong to him, they belong to him. It's just that the timing of when they belong to him is what he jumped. He jumped time. Do you not know when you have your automobile and you have your car that you can do this thing what they call jump time? And if your car jumps time, what happens is your car can still run, but it doesn't run as smooth. See, God can give you what you want before time, and you can get it, but you don't run as smooth. Your timing's off. If you ever drove in the car that the timing is off, that it shudders a little bit. It shakes a little bit. It'll let the engine run, but in time what happens is it'll destroy the engine. In time, it'll destroy the thing. It would not give you all the power. You would not be able to maximize what you can get out of gas mileage. It would burn extra gas. It would shake. It would shudder. It would do all kinds of things. Will it take you from point A to point B? Yes, it will, but it would not take you there in a smooth transition. How many of you know that God wants you to have a smooth transition? God wants you to live the best. He wants you to have the best. He wants you to walk in the best. However, that what? Sometimes that we ask for things before our time, that we get ourselves, that we jump time. And we find ourselves in a bad situation. And now what we find is that when he's hooked himself up to this citizen, he's gone out to this citizen, and now he found out that now they don't care nothing about him. They got him out here. They took him out there, and they saw the limb. Offer him. Sometimes as believers, we get ourselves in situations and circumstances that we get out there and we realize that what? They've sawed the limb out from behind us. They have sawed the limb off. How many of you know that you've been in certain situations and circumstances that people have sawed the limb off behind you? That they push you to go out there and do a thing. That they push you to go out there and say a thing. Or they pushed you, or you pushed yourself to do that, thinking that they were going to have your back. Thinking that they were going to have you, and they were going to hold you and take you. And then what do? They gently sawed it off. Why? Because now what they've done is they've removed you from the situation. So they think. But what they don't know is who you know. What they don't know is who you serve. What they don't know is who is in your corner. Who? What they don't know is who that you're fighting with, that you and I are not fighting alone. He said that if I would, the Bible says like that, if I would choose to make my bed in hell, there would he be. So here we find our prodigal son. He's in a living hell right now. He finds himself there in the pig's pen. He's eating the husks. The husks, he's not even eating the corn, but he's eating the husk, the things that we throw away. And at some point, as he's rallying in self-pity, God gives him one more chance. As he's rallying here in the dark. Do you not know it's in the dark sometimes is when God gets our attention? It's in the dark sometimes when you have things that you've gone as far as you can go. You've done all that you can do. You've made your own decisions and you put God off and you threw him to the side. You say, God, I know better. You're just shaking your fist at God. You went out there and you tick-tocked yourself to death and you did whatever you wanted to do. And now you find yourself in a place. Now you find yourself in a situation. Now you find yourself, Lord, I'm sick in my body. I don't know what to do. And there ain't nothing no man can do for me but you. You're not a man. Lord, I find myself in a place and I find myself in a circumstance. Lord, I'm looking, Lord, I've had a harvest that I came up in your kingdom. Lord, I came with your blessings. Lord, I came, Lord Jesus, with your power. Lord, I came, Lord, I know what the Holy Ghost is. Lord, I know your power, Lord, but I walked away. Why? Because I thought I knew better. I couldn't wait. I wanted it when I wanted it, Lord. I wanted what I want now, but because I was willing to give up what I wanted later. Even knowing later, Lord Jesus, what you have for me was going to be greater. But Lord Jesus, I couldn't have the discipline of saying no right now because I wanted it when I wanted it. I wanted it so I could flaunt it. Why? Because in my immaturity, I wanted to show somebody, look at me, I have arrived. Look at me that I'm better. Look at me, I'm competing against you. And look what I have and look what you don't have. This is where we find ourselves, that we're constantly in competition with one another. And why? Just so you can say you one up somebody? The Bible says it's foolishness. So he finds himself here in the dark. Can you imagine being in the dark of a pig pen? I'm a country boy. I've seen pigs. We slaughter pigs for meat. I've seen how they act. I've seen how they eat each other. Yet here you are, a human being, one that God has made wonderfully made. Yet you subject yourselves to the things that they do. You put yourself in that situation. You allowed yourself to go in that circumstance. And God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you remember when it was your dad's servants who at least had bread to feed you. And here you are starving in the dark of all places. I want to bring this a little bit more home for you on today. I want to share with you for a moment, see if I can pull my photo up here. And okay, you don't want to come up today? Here we go. Let me see if I can get a photo for you. I want to show you something. Show you something. And of course, it would not come up like I want it. Let's see if that comes up. Give me a second. Yeah, here we go. Okay, come on. All right, it does not want to work. What is going on here? Did this thing freeze on me? Well, you're not going to get the glory today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what just happened, but anyway. Lord have mercy. What is going on here? Give me a second. I guess it's not frozen. I guess we're not going to be able to do that today. Oh, well. Sorry about that. What I want to show you was
Yeah, I can show you on the internet another way. Not a problem. It's more than one way to skin that cat, as they say. How about this? Poinsettias. How many of you love a good poinsettia? I like a good poinsettia. Poinsettia is one of the, it's a pretty flower that we typically see around Christmas time. And they have these pretty, pretty red leaves. And they're usually put up around Christmas time because of the beautiful, how pretty their leaves are. And, we decorate our homes with them during the Christmas season and that time because of the pretty red flowers that they have. But poinsettias themselves do not start out this way. How many of you know that poinsettias are actually not necessarily a red flower, but they're trained to be that way? Let me go back into this switch. Let me go a little deeper. See, a poinsettia is a flower that's actually green. It is green in its normal scope. It's green in its normal function. It is a green flower. But what happens is, and I don't know how they figure this out, but what happens is that a poinsettia is not conducive to getting full light. If you give a poinsettia too much light, it will shrivel up like the little Christmas tree on Charlie Brown, they say, and it would die. But it's a delicate balance that must be achieved. So what they do with poinsettias is about 5 p.m. every day before they get red, they take a poinsettia and they put it in the dark. In complete darkness from about 8 a.m. So you put it in for like 5 o'clock that afternoon to like 8 o'clock that next day. So roughly 12 hours. We have 24 hours in that day. So they get a balance of 12 hours of sunlight and 12 hours of darkness. And what we find is that it's in the darkness a poinsettia starts to develop. It's in the darkness that a poinsettia starts to change. It's in the darkness that a poinsettia starts to develop, because there's something about the pigmentations in there that when it's in the darkness, it's forcing it to work on its own. It's forcing it to look within itself to say, okay, what is it in here that we should be producing and outputting in? And what it does is it puts off this red pigmentation that you and I see as this beautiful red flower. So what we see from the poinsettia does not actually happen in real time, but it happens in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, I will beg you and I will tell you to take a look at yourself and do a self-introspection, that you'll find that when you grew the most, is when you were in the darkness. See, it's in this place of this pig pen where the product of the sun is starting to grow. Why? Because he comes to the realization that I do not have to be in the situation that I'm in, that I serve a God who has all, that I have a Father who has many mansions, and I have a Father who has all. And why am I allowing myself to be subjected to this situation? Why am I allowing myself to be in this circumstance? Why am I allowing myself to be right here when I can be over there? Brothers and sisters, this is why I believe that God allows us to come in and out of all these situations as well. Because it's in the darkness that we develop to be who we are. It's in the darkness of your life that your character is really built. It's in the darkness of your life that you actually harvest. You don't believe it? Let me remind you, for those who are taking notes, number one on today, your faith. See, the Bible said that faith without works is dead. That there must be some work being done, but I also know that in my faith that I don't see it, but I believe that it's coming to pass. I know in my faith that I'm walking in the dark, that I do not see what it is, but I have a vision of, Lord, what you're able to do and what you're able to bring forth and what you're able to bring into fruition. And as I walk in that, Lord, I'm walking in the dark. Lord, I'm trusting you, Lord. This is why when I walk in faith, I look funny sometimes. This is why others will point, because see, they don't see what I see. And because they don't see what I see, all I know is, Lord, I have a vision, but I don't have the sight for the moment. And since I don't have the sight for the moment, Lord, I'm feeling around in the dark. Lord, I'm changing and I'm trying to grow and I'm being transformed. Where? In the darkness. That harvest is occurring in the darkness, because it's in that darkness that I'm realizing that I rely on you. That I realize that, Lord Jesus, that it's you that's opening up the doors for me. Lord, I realize, Lord Jesus, that it's you that's been allowing me to go forward. Lord, I realize that it's you that's been saving me. Lord, I realize that it's you that's put your arms around me. Lord, I realize that it's you, Lord Jesus, protecting me and leading and guiding me, Lord Jesus, that from all these
things and situations and circumstances, oh God. It was you, Lord, that when I wanted to hook up with that sister, oh God, that was telling me that I shouldn't walk over there. It was you, Lord, that told me I should keep my mouth shut, Lord, when I didn't want to keep my mouth shut. Lord, it was you, Lord, that told me I should walk away from this, Lord, when I should walk away from this, Lord. It was you, Lord, that told me, Lord, to hold on and that you had my back. Lord, I'm walking in faith, oh God. And I don't understand it because sometimes walking in faith means that I'm walking in the dark. But I have to trust that, Lord, you to know that you got it and you have very all in control. See, sometimes walking in faith meaning that I can't see, but he's not allowed, told you to see. He's told you to what? To have faith. And faith is what? To hope, not to see. Did you catch that? Faith is to hope. He said, what? The substance of things hope for. And the evidence, what? Of things unseen, right? But he told you to have hope. So I walk in hope on today. That while you're in the darkness, you're harvesting in the darkness. What you don't realize, brothers and sisters, while you're in this period of darkness, you're growing. You're getting stronger. Do you not know we grow as our bodies? Our bodies grow when what? When we're asleep. That's why it's important for us to get enough rest. Why? Because when we get enough rest, our bodies are transforming. They're changing. Your body's healing itself. Your body cannot heal itself when you're up walking around being busy. Why? Because the energy that your body needs to heal itself, you are offering what? To whatever activity that you're doing. But when you're resting and you're being still, oh, watch this. When you're being still, that's when your body's being what? Renewed. The Bible says, like he says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and know that he's God. So when you stand still, what is he doing? He's renewing your body. He's renewing your mind. He's changing those things. Well, he knows that you're going through some things. He knows that you're battling some things. He knows you've been in some places, in some circumstances, in some situations. But it's in the dark that you're harvesting. You're double harvesting in the dark. It was in the dark. See, many times we look at this story, and most people look at, you know, when he come out of this thing and when he's come out of this situation and how God has blessed him. But he did not get to that situation until he came to a realization that I'm harvesting in the dark. That I'm harvesting in the dark. So then he comes on and he finds that as he goes on and says that what? I understand number two, there's a trust factor. Many of us talk about we trust God, but do we really? Watch our actions. Our actions every day say that we don't. That we don't trust harvesting him in the dark. Mm-hmm. So if you imagine, if you will, you know, if you were blind and you were blind and you were walking there in the dark, that you was moving there in the dark and you was running there in the dark. See, when you're in the dark, you just don't take off running. See, when it gets dark around here in my house, we are here in the country. When it gets dark and it gets really dark, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Your hand in front of your face. You can put your hand in front of your face and wave it like this and you won't see it. You got to be a fool to go running fast in that dark. And what some of us are doing, we've been running fast. And we're running around in the dark. And we smack into something and wonder, oh God, why did you do that? Did he do it or did you do it? Because you were running in the dark. He didn't tell us to run. He said, well, let's walk this way. Let's walk. Walk with me. Mm-hmm. Talk with me. Take a step with me. He said, what? The steps of a good man. He didn't say that the run, the steps of a good man are what? Are ordered by him. So if you're walking, he'll tell you what a step. As you walk, you're a step. You are not in a race. He can give you back the years that the locust and the canker worm. Oh, he's the owner of time. God operates outside of chronos. Chrono is time as we know it. Hours, minutes, days. He operates outside of that. Because God is what? He's outside of time. Time has no effect on him. Time was created for you and I. So what? He's able to what? Stop the time. For you. He's able to add years to your life. As King Hezekiah, he added years to his life. So why are we in a rush? Let's walk when he tells us to walk. There's harvesting in the dark. So then it comes to what? The trust factor. Lord, I don't see what you're doing. Lord, I don't know what you're doing to save us, Lord, but I feel it. I know you're taking us somewhere, Lord. We're walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, we see the vision that you put before us. Lord, we've seen the vision that you've given our leader.
Lord, I see where you, Lord, when you done, Lord, I see how you've blessed us, oh God. And right now, Lord Jesus, I feel like we're fumbling around in the dark. But it's in the dark, Lord Jesus, that the saints are being made. It's in the dark that you're learning to pray. It's in the dark that you're understanding that this town with my family is sacred. It's in the dark that you understand that I need to be building. It's in the dark that you understand that I need to build stronger relationships with those around me, that I need to love, and that what I need to be poured into those around, I mean, those who are connected with me. It's in the dark that you learn those things. Why? Because it's in the dark that you understand who's in your corner. Mm-hmm. The Bible said what? He went and no other man would even give to him. Because he was in the dark. They didn't want to be associated with him because he was in the dark. I've already proven to you that in the dark is when transformation occurs. It's in the dark is when that poinsettia, it gives off that blue, beautiful, radiant red glow that we so come to like. But that's where it's discovered, in the dark. Just because you're in a dark time in your life doesn't mean that, you know, that God is not looking over you. Doesn't mean that he's not using you, but he's using these things. The Bible said all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So he's using these things to mold and move you so that when you come out of this dark and then they all in your face again, you'll know that they're not your friend. You'll know that when they all in your face and they throwing this and this and that, you know that that's just a distraction to throw me off. You'll know that that's not how God has set this up for me. You'll know that God, you know, I have to keep my eyes on you, that I'm not out here to be sinking. But I'm going to swim. And I'm going to swim. Why? Because I kept my eyes focused on you. As we all know, the story goes that Peter walked on the water and he was walking. Notice again, walking. And he was walking because he was what? Following the voice of Jesus. And when he got to the point that he didn't listen to him anymore, he started listening to everybody else around him. What did he do? He started to sink. Brothers and sisters, as we go into our year of double harvest, as we run into this double harvest, God is going to bless some of you all beyond measure. He's going to bless some of you all beyond some of your wildest dreams. But I ask that you remember this time in the dark. It was in this time in the dark that he developed you. It was in this time in the dark that he gave you direction. It was in this time in the dark that he gave you a love for him. It was in this time in the dark that he taught you how to pray. It was this time in the dark that he taught you how to trust him because you didn't know where tomorrow, where the next situation was coming from. It was this time in the dark that he told you how to lead and guide, and he brought you all truth and understanding. And it was in this time in the dark that he brought number three, restoration. Restoration. It was in the dark that he brought restoration. Because in the dark that you rejuvenate. It's in the dark that you come again. It's in the dark that where sunlight is not here, that God has been hiding some of you. Some of you have been hid. The Bible says that, but he'll hide you. He's been hiding you. It's not that your skill and your talent is not there. They know it, but they don't realize why. Because God has not allowed the scales to come from their eyes. And that's for a reason. Because what he's using this to develop you, but he's saying, not yet. Not yet, prodigal. Hold your horse. Not yet. So what am I telling you, Safe House Church? I'm glad that you asked. I'm telling you, Safe House Church, that God has something for us. He's moving us, he's guiding us, and in this time period that we are to take advantage of it. We are to what? To absorb, and we are to grow, and we are to run and understand God's voice and understand how he speaks to you and understand how he speaks to me and understand how he's moving our church into the situation and the circumstance that he wants to be in. That, you know, that the building is not, it's not about the building, but it's about what's going on right now here, whether we're in the building or we somewhere else. But then when he does give us the building, and when we do move into that those who are going to come and how that life's going to be transformed, because we're going to remember it was in the dark that we was harvesting. It was in the dark that we collected these things. It was in the dark, Lord, that you gave us our double. It was in the dark, oh God, that we came out. Because, Lord, you've given us a harvest in the beginning. But it was in the dark, Lord Jesus, that the harvest that I appreciate the most. Why? Because I understand where it came from. I understand that it was not free. I understood that it cost me something. I understood that it's going to cost me something, that it was going to be sacrifice involved. I understood that, Lord Jesus, that it was not about me, Lord. I understood that if I was going to get there, I was going to get there because of your grace and your mercy, oh God. That I was going to get there not because of my works, oh God, not because of who I was and what I did, Lord Jesus, but it was going to be your grace and mercy, oh God, that I was going to be the turtle that you put on the fence. And they were going to wonder, how did it get there? And all they know is that it got there, but it did not get there by itself. You ain't going where you're going by yourself. Why? Because there's a mandate on your life that you're to carry this gospel. God's going to open up some doors for some of y'all. Some of y'all are going to be in some of the highest places. Because the Bible says it like this. He said that in high places. In these high places. It's in these high places where principalities are fighting. See, this little stuff that we worried about, this is low-hanging fruit. This is low-hanging fruit. We worried about this, we worried about that's low-hanging fruit. You got what? Principalities in high places. And how do those principalities come down to high places? He sent people like you and I to those high places to bring them down. And we don't bring them down because we go in and we shout. We don't bring them down because we go in there and we speaking in tongues and we slapping oil on people and all that stuff. That's foolishness. And there's a time and place for that. I'm not against that. I'm all, yes, I get it. But not there. Not in the marketplace. In the marketplace, he called you to move strategically. In the marketplace, he's called you, you know what, you do what you can, and you do your work, and I'm going to magnify it. I'm going to make it look better than anything they ever seen. You're going to be looking at your work and be like, well, it's okay. Oh, I think it's good enough. And they're going to see your work and be like, oh, my God, this is a Picasso. They're going to see what you thought was just, I did the very best I can. They're going to look at your work and say, oh, my God, no, this is Shakespeare. And that little that you have, God is going to magnify it. But it's in the dark that you realize it's not mine. It's in the dark that you realize they're not for me. It's in the dark that you realize that you have a work for me. It's in the dark that you realize, Lord, I don't supposed to be here. But while I'm here, I may as well learn in the dark. Because it's in the dark that you grow. If you think about it throughout your life, and I know this is not a rah-rah, run around the church message this morning, but if you think about it, and if you give yourself some time of self-reflection, the times that you grew the most was when you was the most desperate. The times that you grew the most is when you needed him. It's when you found yourself in situations and circumstances wondering how this thing is going to turn and how it's going to change and how it's going to be moved. Those were the times you grew. It was in the dark that he provided. And after that, after you got through that period of darkness, you came out what? Developed. You was restored. And then what? Then he elevated you. I think about any promotion or anything that I got, there was always a dark period of time I went through. I never forget when I was trying to get, you know, out of my job situation at another place at this time, and I was just ready to move on. And I went through a dark period for like 2 years. I applied for job after job after job. And it seemed like I knew I was qualified. I knew I was doing the right thing. And it just seemed like it never, ever worked. Then all of a sudden, at one more time, I was ready to give up. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just stuck here. And I don't know how I saw it. I saw this one job situation, and I applied. And he called me in for an interview. And watch this. Everything was just so smooth. So smooth to the point I said, you know what? They just going through the motions. They don't really want me. This is just them saying that, hey, we did what we supposed to do. We interviewed 5 people. And these were the 5 people. And this is what we're going to do. Because I've been in situations. And you keep living. We all been in situations like that where the decision was already made before you came into the room. And that's how I was feeling. But I was still just doing what I do. I was giving my best effort, though. Do not fail to give your best effort, because even when you think it's done, it may not be done. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And so I was just thinking, you know, it was done and whatever, and even talking, and everything just seemed to be just hit off nicely. And I was like, you know what? I've been here before. You know, everything goes nice and smooth, and you have talks, and y'all rah rah, and you're like, man, this is a great place to work and a great work situation. And I'm just, you know, happy just to get that dear John letter 6 weeks later, or to get that call to say, you know, we decided to go a different way, or we decided to go with a different candidate. In some cases, not get a call at all. Just don't even tell you anything. I think that's bad. I told myself I'd never be that type of supervisor. If I decide I want somebody for whatever reason, I'm at least have the gall and the courtesy to call and tell them, hey, this is not going to work out, or we're doing this and whatever. That's this person. That's me. So I go through all these situations. And the very time I was like, well, here we go. It's going to go through the motions again. But I'm going to give it my best effort. And I gave it my best effort. And lo and behold, everything just lined right up. It was lining up so easily that it scared me. I said, oh, something not be right about this. See, sometimes when God's ready to bless you, there's nothing nobody can do. And when God's opened up the door, there's nothing nobody can do, to the point that it would scare you. I was asking for crazy stuff, and they were saying, yo, we can do that. I said, give me this. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Well, what about this? Yep, I think we can arrange that. Well, what about that? And I was like, then they asked me, well, do you think your wife might need a job too? Huh? It was scaring me. But when God gets ready to bless you, lines it up. Lines it right up. And it would just line it up. To the point, here I am, all I've been waiting on. We've been praying to God. We've been stuck in the dark here a while. And now he's allowed. You know, I'm thinking, I was the same person. I might have had the same skill set, but I didn't have the same thought pattern. There's a difference. See, some of us, we get caught up in our skill set. You know, I'm better than this person. And I can do this and I can do that. And you can. But what about your character? When you get there, will you embarrass God? Because people watching. I got reminded this week. Folks watching me, I don't even know who watching me. I got a phone call in my office this week that just threw me off. They said, this is such and such, and I've been watching your telecast, and I'm like, huh? There's no days off, y'all. We live this thing 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. When these numbers come up here and say 10, 15, 20 people watching, I don't know who's watching. You don't know who's watching you. And someone else's faith may be dependent upon you until they get to the point of accountability. And then they grow into their own. So that harvest, we're birthing babies, y'all. I'm not saying it's easy. Yes, it can be really, really hard sometimes. There's things that you want to do, you want to say, you want to go on, but you got to remember, they're always watching us. And how did they learn to be it? From watching you. They watch how you conduct yourself. They watch how when you got treated badly, how did you handle that? Did you go off? Did you go out there and make a scene? Did you embarrass them and you embarrass yourself? Did you embarrass your family? Did you embarrass God? Because God's not going to allow you to be in a place or a situation or a circumstance that you're going to embarrass him. He's not that kind of God. So in the dark, even when he's removing these layers from us, he's removing your little ego. Ego stands for edging out God. Mm-hmm. E-G-O, edging out God. He's removing, you know, your arrogance. Because you didn't do it, he did. If not, because you would still be down there like Joseph, you'd be in prison. But when Joseph was ready, what happened? Joseph still did the work. And when Joseph was doing the work, there came a time, the Bible said, it's just not your time yet. It's coming. I can feel it. And the Bible said, there came a time when they needed Joseph. And they said, where's that boy who's doing all them dreams? Bring him up here. Show us these dreams, Joseph. Tell us what these dreams mean. And Joseph told the dreams using his talent. And then he told them based off his talent, what God had prophetically already put in his spirit. And now they say, use your skill to keep us safe. That's Bible. Joseph's talent got him there, but his skills kept him there. His character got him in a dungeon. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. His character put him there because he was going to be a stand-up guy. He was going to do the right thing, even if it cost him his life. And it almost did a couple. Brothers and sisters, this thing is going to cost you something. But I'm here to tell you today of this. If we look at all these Bible characters we talk about, I do not recall not one of them. And if I'm wrong, I stand corrected. But I do not recall one of them, especially in the Old Testament, that we ever read about going through crazy stuff like that again. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that crazy things wouldn't happen to you. It doesn't mean the circumstances, because we're always growing. But when you get to a certain level of faith, you understand, okay, God, this is just another test. I'm so glad for this. We don't ever read about Joseph being in want and his family being desolate again. We don't ever read about, Moses and all them being in trouble again. We don't read about that stuff because they don't go back. You don't read about Job being in trouble again. Because there's a certain level that you reach in God. And I'm not saying I'm there because I'm still striving just like you're striving. But there's going to come a time where you're going to reach a certain level in God that this stuff ain't going to bother you. You're just going to be like this. You be, as I heard Noah Jones said, you just be smooth. And what we're going for, we want to be smooth in God. That stuff don't get, I don't get too happy when stuff get goes right. And I don't get sad when stuff go wrong. I'm just left. Do you want to be smooth today? Because it's in the dark where you and I grow. It's in the dark where you and I change. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you all today, that you got something out of it. I know it's not a rah-rah message, and I'm not hollering and spitting all over the place and all this, but sometimes you just got to sit down and be talked to. Sometimes I have to speak to your mind. I've always spoken to your heart. But speak to your mind, because some of you have made up in your mind that they don't care. And they don't care. But he does. He knows exactly where you are. He's allowed this thing to be looked over. And you keep saying, Lord, what about me? Lord, look at me. Look at all the things I can do. And for whatever reason, you just keep looking at it like, but they keep overlooking me. They keep overlooking me. It's strategic. They're not supposed to find you. It's just like that car I showed you on last week. That car sat out there for years and nobody saw that car. Everybody saw it, but nobody saw it. But the first time I laid eyes on that car, my mind went wandering. I was like, ooh, I can do this and I can do that. And then when I actually got there and physically saw it in person, I was like, oh my, yes, we can do this, we can do that, blah, 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 blah. It's just not coming to the right hands yet. So stay who you are. Continue to walk in integrity. Continue to stand up and be who God's called you to be. Continue to work on your craft. Continue to get better. Continue to be wiser. Continue to develop in the dark. Because in due season, God will allow the light to shine on you. God bless you. That's all I have for you all today. If this if this ministry has been a blessing to you all today, I ask that you consider giving to the Safe House Church. Consider giving to the Safe House Church. You can give to us here at the Cash App. We're on the Cash App at $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Again, it's $SafeHouseChurchGSO or at paypal.me/ministry8. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry8. And also, you can do snail mail. You can do check money order to Fine Fish Ministry. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina 27358. I also want to remind my ladies, tomorrow, on Monday, every Monday we have, that you can go over and be a part of the women's group, which is called The Women at the Well. So all you have to do is go to www.safehousechurchgso.com/women. There's a place for you to register. And if you register there, then they'll send you a link to your email and you'll be able to get into their private. It's a private space, only women. Women are there. Sister Pam leads that incredible group of women, that you'll go there and then you'll be able to join the women in there. I encourage every woman of the Safe House Church, if you're not in this group, why aren't you in there? It's only an hour. Now, I encourage you to go in there and learn. This is where you went. You're developing in the dark. See, everybody didn't see that. That'll just be you. It's in the dark. But you're developing. You're developing in the dark. So with that, I'm concluding on today, and I finish. I just hope that God is continuing to bless you and love on you all and keep you all. For God has just been so good to us. He's been better to us than ourselves. And I hope that you found this message to be a blessing to you on today. On this week, remember, we have our prayers on Monday through Friday, like we normally do, Monday through Friday, at 6 a.m. We'll be praying. We'll be praying for not only each other, but we'll be praying for the church and this nation. But God knows exactly what he's doing, and he's going to keep us, and he's going to continue to develop you in the ball. God bless you all. I love you all. And know that way, keep seeing the best in you. And I see the best in you too. But we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. You all have a tremendous day. Take care. Bye-bye. Only sees me, oh, I'm